This is Libby Gore on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
What exactly is your access to hospital care as we falteringly, teeteringly take our first steps towards living in a vaccinated society? Really, really thrilled to introduce you to the Director of Surgery at the Alfred Hospital. Her name is Professor Wendy Brown. She has some really, really interesting things to say about what you can do to make sure you still get the best care available to you whilst hospitals cope with the pandemic. Good morning to you, Wendy Brown.
Good morning, Libby.
How are you? I'm all right. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I can imagine that things within the hospital system and the sector, not just at the Alfred but at the Austin, across Victoria, must be on slight tenterhooks.
Yeah, I think we're all a bit nervous. We're all sort of waiting for what we predict will be quite a difficult time in the hospital system. And it's, I guess it's the third time we've prepared for this. You know, we prepared in the first wave and the second wave last year, and now this time's the third time. Sometimes it feels a little bit like Game of Thrones, where you're waiting for those people to come over the wall. Mm. And this time it does seem that as the state opens up, that we really are going to be challenged, I think, to try to not only care for our COVID patients, but maintain that high standard of care that we need to for all the other people in the community that have conditions that need treatment.
So we know that what they call elective surgery is not happening, but what comes across or what is labelled elective surgery for many people isn't just elective surgery. It's pain-relieving surgery. It's life-changing surgery. And yet it does come under the classification of elective.
Yeah, you've really hit the nail on the head, Livia. We call it elective surgery, I think, because it doesn't have to be done, you know, today. It can be done tomorrow or the day after. But nobody puts their hand up to have surgery, or very few people put their hand up to have surgery unless they need it. So it's really necessary surgery. It's really surgery that people need to have to relieve a condition that's causing them pain or ill health. And also it's surgery that saves lives. So people that have heart disease or who have cancer, they have to have surgery, and these all fall under the elective surgery category. So it's a sort of a misnomer, I think, and I think sometimes in people's minds it means it's something that people are opting to have, but I don't think too many people put their hand up and say, look, I want to have surgery today. They have it for a good reason.
So they divide it up into categories, do they, in terms of emergency and urgency?
Yeah, so in the elective surgery, or you know, necessary surgery categories, we have category one, which needs to be done within 30 days. Otherwise, there's, you know, a good chance of death or disability. Then category two is within 90 days. And at the moment during the pandemic, we're dividing it into 2A and 2B. And 2A means sort of roughly within 60 days, I guess. And then category three needs to be done within a year, so 365 days. And that's the way we've sort of categorised surgery, I guess, for a long time now. And it's just a way of helping us to triage people in the public system so that we ensure that we divert our resources or direct our resources to the people that have, I guess, a more urgent need for an operation. And I guess that's just a particular feature of the public system, is that, you know, it's a resource-limited commodity. It doesn't have endless resources, and so we have to have a way of equitably distributing those resources to the people, I guess, who need the care the most urgently.
So, Wendy, does, for instance, the Alfred, because that's your neck of the woods, that's your terrain, but like physically within infrastructure, are there enough wards, or have you had to take over non-surgical areas within the hospital in order to maintain the service you can offer people?
Well, at the moment, I think not just the Alfred, but pretty much every public hospital is going through a process of reclaiming spaces. So I know at the Alfred, we've had to open up wards that have previously been closed, or recommission wards that have been closed, so that we can expand our intensive care unit. And I think we're up to about 65 intensive care beds. We've had to change wards that normally hold surgical patients or medical patients with other diseases into COVID wards. And our emergency department is under enormous pressure, and so they've had to reclaim sort of admin areas of the hospital, and they're looking at opening up part of a building that's next door to the emergency department, which used to house the university, and again has been sort of closed for a while, waiting redevelopment. And that you'll see a sort of series of marquees out the front of the hospital as well, to enable us to stream patients more effectively. And this is partly in response to the fact that I think we're caring for around 150, 160 COVID patients at the moment. And the COVID patients require a lot of extra space because people need to be isolated. The teams looking after them have to wear a whole lot of special garments or PPE so that they can go in. And the ventilation has to be right so that the virus doesn't sort of spread throughout the hospital. And so the use of space becomes a lot less, I guess, less efficient. So a room that you'd normally have four people in, you can only have two people in, or a room that normally has two people in only has one people in it. And so it's meant for us reclaiming a whole lot of different areas and repurposing different areas. And it's also meant that we've had to slow down on this elective surgery we can do so that we can free up not just the space, but also the personnel to help to care for the COVID patients, but also provide support down in the emergency department.
Mm. Professor Wendy Brown, Director of Surgery at the Alfred, joins you. Are you comfortable, Wendy? Are you good talking about this? Because I know you don't want to scare people.
Oh, yeah. No, look, it is a scary situation we find ourselves in. But I guess what I want to make people, hopefully reassure people, is that we will still be able to look after you. We still want you to come in and see us if you have a problem. COVID's one of, you know, of thousands of diseases we treat. And if you need medical care, you should not hesitate to seek that care. But we also sort of implore you, if you haven't been vaccinated, please think about taking that step, because the only light at the end of the tunnel for us is that as the state opens, which we know it has to, we know there'll be more trauma. We know that there'll be more activity in the community, and that means that our disease burden, the diseases we see other than COVID, will go up. And our best chance of coping with that is if people are vaccinated, because we know people who are vaccinated are far less likely to need to come to hospital. And as we see the vaccination rates go up in the community, the percentage of people that need to come to hospital with COVID is dropping. So vaccination is working. And the sooner that we can get everyone vaccinated, the less pressure there'll be on us. And I guess the sooner we can get back to normal, not just with our everyday lives, but also with our ability to meet the healthcare needs of our community.
Wendy, has this given your profession, your colleagues, insight into the state of our hospital system and how it's been maintained to date, and what needs to be done in the future when we look at new hospitals?
You know, hopefully this is a once-in-a-generation pandemic, but, you know, we just don't know. You know, there may be another pandemic down the track. And I guess what it's sort of highlighted to me is that, you know, we do run very close to the bone at the best of times. And so now that we've got this challenge, we're rising up to the challenge. And I think it's been really heartening and, you know, very reassuring and quite empowering to see how people do rise to the challenge and have done so now for nearly 2 years. But we need to, in the long term, I think, look at how health is resourced and just make sure we have a bit more flexibility in the system so that when something big happens, we can respond to it without having to disrupt so much the background work that we do, because there's lots of work that we still need to do that at the moment, I think, unfortunately, is not getting the same priority that it normally would. Now, that's not to say it won't again, because it will, you know, hopefully this is just a few weeks and we'll get back on top of it. But I don't know, it's just, would be nice to think that we could get hospitals of the future that we've got old infrastructure at all our hospitals. We need some investment probably in some newer hospitals and maybe just a little bit more capacity. But I guess that's for the clever people to work out in the wash up after all of this.
Wendy, thank you. And I guess the only other plea that a hospital could throw out there, particularly when it's with regards to ICU wards and breathing, is for those with asthma, get your plans updated, get yourselves checked. You don't want to be turning up at hospital with asthma-related things if it can be helped, correct?
Absolutely. And as the state reopens, please drive carefully. You know, we're worrying about a big trauma surge, which we saw last year as the state reopened. So we're all looking forward to the state reopening. We understand that that needs to happen. It's good for lots and lots of reasons, but we really want you to drive carefully. Please don't drink and drive. Please don't take drugs and drive. Please you know, maintain that cautious approach on the roads, because we really would like to avoid seeing that trauma surge this year if possible.
And as I say with a heavy heart, cyclists and drivers, look out for each other.
Yeah, look after each other on the roads.
Professor Wendy Brown, Director of Surgery at the Alfred, thank you for joining us.